This is the last teaching in the God Can See You Be, the Cube series, What He Can See You Be. And we're going to finish where Pastor Carey left off. Pastor Carey, thank you so much for teaching last week on our behalf while we were out. Thank you, my brother. And we're going to talk about finish up what was taught this past Sunday. This is going to be an amazing day today for many of you. Going to be an amazing day today. I start the new series after Robert Madu next Sunday after he's here. It's going to be that series that you saw up there, The Last Day. We're going to do a series on the last day, the 24 hours of Jesus Christ. What happened in 24 hours? How many know a day can make a difference? Amen? Amen. So be here for that series and bring someone with you. And I just want to also give you a little teaser. We have Good Friday service here, and it's usually during the lunch period on Good Friday. We are doing something so incredibly powerful and unique and anointed that I know that many, I know you've never been in anything like what's going to happen on that Friday. We're going to do it on Friday night. And I put it up there with our Christmas Eve service, that kind of, but it's something, I'll tell you more. I know you want me to tell you now, but I can't. Because if I do, no, I would never kill you. I'd never do that. So, but it's going to be really good. But get ready for the Good Friday and Easter week. Everyone needs to prepare someone to bring with you, okay? So this is our Empowered series, and I want us to read the text together. Everybody ready? I love saying this scripture because it makes the devil mad. I was born. Amen. You ready to say it with me? Come on. For I know they are plans Woo! Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking about me. Say, tell him, he's talking about me, right? And you know what God can see you be? God can see you be empowered by his Holy Spirit. And some of you are living beneath the blessing God has intended for you. There's more. He said there was more. These people were saved, and he told them there's more. Let's go to Acts 1:8 from last week. But you will receive what, everybody? When the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And as Pastor Carey taught last week, that word power literally in the Greek means dunamis. It's where you get the word dynamite. How many know if a stick of dynamite would go off? We know it. That means there's a mighty ability of God. He says is in the believer that's waiting them after they get saved. Watch this. Now, these followers, he told them to wait. These followers were born again, saved by the blood of Jesus, but he said there's more. There's dynamite, dunamis, infilling power of the Holy Spirit. So they're waiting for this. Let's go to Acts 2, verse 1, all right? When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now watch this. Here's the first physical thing when the power is released. Now, if you weren't here last week, you got to listen to Pastor Carey's teaching. The Holy Spirit's in you when you're saved, but he releases the power in you. Like that envelope, that teaching last week, there is a dimension of power that he wants to loose through you. Watch this. It was like dynamite. Something different happened in those believers. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And then watch what happened. 3,000 people got saved that day. People from different races and ethnicities and cultures started hearing these people declare the glory of God. You want to bring a nation together? You cannot legislate it. You can only have it through the power of the Holy Spirit demonstrating Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, it's the only way it can happen. Watch this. These people saw signs and wonders, miracles, sense of awe. People were growing in love with each other, maturing in the Lord, because they were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. You are saved, but you need to let the power of the Holy Spirit release through you, baptize you in his power. Now, before you sit down, look at your neighbor and say, what the phone booth was to Clark Kent, the Holy Spirit will be to you. Tell him that, amen. What the phone booth was to Clark Kent. Yeah. Now, look at their lives. So here they are, They had the blood of Jesus, saved by the blood. Jesus is resurrected, but he said there's a release of power, another experience, a second experience after your conversion, your salvation, Jesus. This is what the scripture's teaching. It's saying there's another experience, an endowment of power, a way to pray to God and commune spirit to spirit instead of just natural English all the time, that prayer language of the unknown tongue, that infilling of the power of God that's always flowing through your life every single day. And there is a marked difference that begins to happen in you. Look at the disciple Peter, Acts 2:38. Look at this. Before Acts 2, do you remember what he was like? Remember the disciple Peter? What was he doing? What was he doing before? He was sinking, always sinking. He was always swearing, cussing. But now he's standing. Why is a guy who's running from people after Jesus Christ crucified, even after Jesus Christ, they're all running, but now he's standing up in the public square declaring the glory of God? What was the difference? The difference was the infilling power of the Holy Spirit on that Jesus follower. And so they're all looking. 3,000 people are getting saved, folks. They're tripping out. They're tripping out. The whole city is just going crazy. They think they're all drunk. Could you? What if that happened today? What if the whole city started tripping out, and all of a sudden, here comes the Wyoming Police Department. They come walking in here because they see some of you laid out. You can't even get up. You're so overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit. You can't even get up. Here's some of you talking. They think, oh, that's not English. I know there's something wrong with that person. Could you imagine? They'd come in here thinking that we opened up a tavern without a liquor's license. They'd want to arrest me. Say, man, you got minors in here serving them alcohol. You're under arrest, Pastor. I said, don't look at me. Look at our CFO. Arrest him. Amen. He's got an honest face. Arrest that boy. But look at what it says. Watch this. They're all looking. They're shocked. Everybody's looking. Watch this. And here's what Peter says. And you got to underline these things because they're very important. Peter says, replied, repent. Underline that word repent. And be baptized. Underline that word baptized. Every one of you. Because they're wanting to know, what do we need to do? In the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Watch this. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Underline that. Because they're seeing power. They're seeing demonstration. There's a sense of awe. Now look at that. First of all, I want to note something here. What Peter is showing you is a theology throughout the New Testament of three baptisms that happens to the Jesus follower. Repent is, first of all, repentance as being baptized into the body of Jesus Christ. When you get saved, you are in the body of Jesus. Repent brings baptism in the body of Christ. And I don't have time to go through all the scriptures, but it's there. It's all there. Theologian, it's there. Those of you, the 54 of you that gave your life to Jesus today, guess what? You are a part of the body of Jesus Christ because you came to him. You repented. Watch this. And then be baptized. What's baptized? This is talking about water baptism. When you go down in that water is like the washing of what the blood of Jesus does. Your earthly life, your sinful life goes down, resurrected in Jesus Christ. Jesus told us to be baptized, water baptism. And he says, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive, here's the third baptism, the baptism in the power of the Holy Spirit, just like they just saw in that moment, that power of the Spirit. And then he says in verse 39, for this promise, what you're seeing happen right now, disciples saying, this promise is for you, for your children, for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Look at what he's saying. He's saying that this is for today. Now, just look at that. He says, first of all, it's a promise. What does that mean? It's a promise gift. He said promise, so it's a promise gift. It's for you. And then he says it is. He uses the word is. What does that mean? It's a present gift. It's for right now. It's for today. It's for every person under the sound of my voice. And then he says, this promise is for you. That means it's a personal gift. So don't go say, well, maybe for Pastor Sam. You know that guy down at the end of the pew, he looks real holy. Maybe it's for him because he combs his hair. He looks like a Jesus kind of guy. Carried a Bible in here. It's for him, not me. I'm telling you that if you got saved today, this promise is for you. Amen. And then he says, it doesn't just stop with you, but he says it's for your children. It's progeny's gift. It's for the next generation. You know, the one thing I don't want to have happen in this church, and this is the reason why we went after the next generation. This is why we want to see them come to Jesus. But I don't want them just to be saved. I want them to be so full of the power of God that they have a boldness like the apostles and like the early church, that they're willing to go anywhere God tells them to go. They're willing to do anything God tells them to do. They'll stand up for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the only way you're going to make it in this culture today, church, businessman, the only way you're going to make it in this culture is you must be full of the Spirit of God every single day of your life. It's the only way. It's for today. How many of you believe it's for us today? Now, I want to just build a little bit more on what Pastor Carey said, and then we're going to pray for people who are hungry. Now, how many of you had your red, how many got your red squares last Sunday? Oh, how many of you still been praying every day? Got that red square, amen. How many had somebody ask you, what's that red square there for? Let me see your hand. See, we set you up. We knew they'd ask you that. Now watch what it does. When you ask for the Holy Spirit empowering, just like they received on that day, and they begin to start praying in that connect, and Pastor Kerry taught on that. If you didn't, weren't here, go back and listen to it. But I want you to see this. The Holy Spirit builds you up. Now, when I say builds you up, please don't misunderstand that it builds you up like, you know, it's all about me. No, 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 no. How many know when you ask for more of Jesus, it's less of you? Okay? That's what happens. But look at this. The Holy Spirit empowerment, it builds you up. Let's go to Jude 20 and verse 23. Watch. Look what he says to the believers. He says, but you, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith. Okay, so then how do you do that? Pray in the power of what? The Holy Spirit. And await the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring you eternal life. In this way, you will keep yourself safe in God's love. And you must show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. Rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment. Show mercy to still others, but do so with great caution, hating the sins that contaminate their lives. Now get this. What he's saying is that a spirit-filled person here, he says, if you want to build other people up in the faith, if you want to keep your faith strong, you better be praying, not just in your English natural language, but tapping in spirit to the Holy Spirit to pray the will of God to be loosed and his glory being seen through you. Some of us are praying for stuff in our English and you're blowing it. English is great, but you need to know that there is a power that gives you strength over the enemy to pray in the Holy Spirit. Now watch this. And he says it gives you the ability to win a generation. You can love them and have compassion on them. You can hate the sin that destroys them, but you can still love them in a powerful way. See, being bold for Jesus doesn't mean we always have to be in an argument with everybody all the time. Why does everybody think that that boldness is always ticking people off all the time? Boldness is not, that I'm making people mad all the time. The power of the Holy Spirit gives you courage to say the things the right way, to come against the sin, but still deal with him in love, but still exercise truth. So, but what does he say? He says we got to build each other up. Now, I want you to look at that word build for a moment. That word build there, if you would break it down into the Greek, that word build there, if you look at, just go to word study, it's really an architectural term. It's an architectural term there. It means to cause a building to stand. It means to have such a strong foundation that you cause the building to stand. But it's not only about causing the building to stand, it also deals with expansion. See, now, in the natural realm, it's always important to leave yourself an ability to add on to your building in case you expand in the future, okay? How many of you have, you start gaining children? You think, we got to get a bigger house. We got to add on a bedroom now. What are you doing? You are increasing your capacity to take in more. The problem is with some Jesus followers, if you have outgrown your current spiritual house. In fact, you're not adding on. Some of you are downsizing what you're supposed to be. See, when you start retiring, getting older, you will talk about downsizing. In the spirit, you don't downsize. You should be expanding your gift more and more. He says, when you pray in the spirit, guess what? You don't decrease your capacity. You increase your capacity. So if you're finding yourself not praying anymore, guess what's probably happening to you? You have downsized the power of the Spirit of God in your life. You should be praying and interceding more. Some of us are in this place. You stopped your ministry gift. You used to have a gift to do things in the house of God. And now we say, I just don't have time to do anything, Pastor. What are we doing? We are downsizing the gift, and we're not increasing our ability to serve and mature other people in the church. Are you tracking with me here? See, the Holy Spirit wants to use you. Some of you, the Holy Spirit wants to use you. Look, you're gone. You're on the university campus, and you see a student in that campus, in that classroom, and you can feel this tug of the Holy Spirit saying, go be a friend to them. Go ask them, hey, man, how's your day going? I just felt like I should come over and ask. You know, I want you to know I've been praying for you. I don't know why God's like. But now you're not doing that anymore. You're losing your witness. What's happening? You're downsizing your spiritual house. But when you pray in the Spirit, you will see an increase of wanting to worship. Some of you, guess what's happened in your worship time? You're too busy analyzing the songs we sing, what the lights look like, examining. I mean, I watch so many Christians. You're spending more time on Facebook critical of worship. You ought to engage worship, quit enduring the worship, and start enjoying the substance of what's being sung. And so why is it that some of us sometimes we start downsizing our worship when your worship ought to be expanding in more territories? See, that word architectural build means it keeps growing, it keeps growing, it keeps growing. And when I discover that my worship decreases, my witness decreases, my forgiveness decreases, my love decreases, my giving decreases, I'm going to tell you, it is directly related to Sam Reifkogel not tapping into the Spirit. Because he says, when you pray in the Spirit and you live in the Spirit, you increase others and yourself. In fact, here's what I want everybody to do. Note this down. We're going to have a series. I know Pastor Terry alluded to it, but it's called Practicing the Power. March 22nd in the prayer chapel, Wednesday nights, 7 o'clock, we are going to have a class on how do I function with that Holy Spirit power in me? How do I know when he's leading me to do something? How do I know if God's using me to have a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge? How do I practically apply the power of God in my everyday life? And I hear people say, well, I just don't see God moving like he's supposed to. I don't say, well, quit asking, saying why I don't see God moving in everybody else and why he's not moving. What about you? It ought to be happening in the marketplace. There ought to be words of knowledge when you're around your teenager. Listen, that Wednesday, we ought to pack that prayer chapel out for that 6 weeks and say, Holy Spirit, activate this church into knowing how to function in the power of the Spirit, not just in this room, but especially out there. Amen? See, the Holy Spirit builds you up. You know, when you pray in the Spirit, guess what? The Holy Spirit will build up the weak areas of your life. When you get baptized in the Holy Spirit and you start praying daily, not just in your English, but praying in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit helps you overcome areas of your life where you're feeling weak. See, some of us are weak in some areas. I know some people go, well, Pastor, I just don't need the power of the Holy Spirit. Pastor, I've got these things in my life, and, you know, I really wish I could overcome. And I know God would use me, but, Pastor, I'm still smoking, so God can't use me. And, Pastor, I got this anger issue, and I still hate people that are not my race. And I love Jesus, and I don't, you know, and God won't fill me because I feel that way. No, let me tell you something. The reason you need the Holy Spirit is because you've tried every counseling session and it's not working. That's why you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Oh, Pastor, I got these habits and I'm smoking. Pastor, listen, smoking won't send you to hell. Make you smell like you've been there. But it's killing your life. It's shortening your life, and God's got a plan for you. And you say, Pastor, I've tried everything. I've tried sunflower seeds. I've tried chewing gum. I've tried nicotine patches. Pastor, I've tried it. I've held my breath. I've tried everything. Not working. Well, that's the reason why you need the Holy Spirit, because you can't overcome that addiction. And the Holy Spirit in you will give you power to overcome that. Well, I just don't feel holy enough, Pastor. I don't feel holy enough. My marriage isn't good enough. I feel so many flaws. Listen, get this in your spirit. It's not how holy you are. It's how hungry you are. If you'll hunger and thirst after righteousness, you'll be filled whatever you're hungering for. Just hunger. Pray in the Spirit daily. Ask when you're reading the Word, say, Holy Spirit, reveal this to me. See, the Holy Spirit will do that. Man, when I see believers not winning people to Jesus Christ and all we're doing is cruising into the harbor and tying our boat to the dock, but we're never setting sail out there to go win people for Jesus Christ, there's something wrong with us. No, I'm serious. If we are not actively learning how to reach and engage the culture out there, and we're all just going to tie our dock in the harbor called Grand Rapids First and come every Sunday, but never do anything with it, there's something wrong with us, church. I'm telling you, there's something wrong with us. I'll tell you what's wrong with us. We need God to fill us with the power of His Spirit again. Why? Because when you read Jude 20, guess what it does? We can build up a compassion for the lost. You say, Pastor, I'm not crying over this city anymore. I'm not weeping over my unsaved dad anymore. Pastor, I don't go through my high school. I don't even care anymore. I go through my university. I don't care anymore. You ought to weep for that teacher that's so hostile and so angry against the gospel. There's something happening in his heart and her heart. When you start praying in the Spirit, you'll cry for souls again. You'll weep for people. You'll have compassion. You'll have compassion on people that are weak and struggling in this church. You'll have compassion for it. But why are so many Spirit-filled believers? Come on, folks, we got to do a self-analysis here. The church in America is in decline. It's not growing. What's the problem? We have lost the Spirit-filled life. Instead of being building up, we're breaking down. We're breaking down. Churches are breaking down. The marriages are breaking down. The relationships in churches are breaking down. What's going on here? What's happening? I'll tell you what's happening, folks. We've lost the empowerment of the Spirit of God to function in Him every single day. That Holy Spirit, I gotta have you. This person has ticked me off so bad. Holy Spirit, help me. There is no hope for healing. Holy Spirit, help me. Folks, I'm telling you, we got to cry out in America again, because it is our only hope for the church in America is the Spirit of God empowering the believer, hungry like they were on the day of Pentecost again. You say, why are too many people, Pastor, tied to the dock and not being fishers of men? Here's what the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 5:18. Look at this one. I love this one. He says, don't get drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be what, everybody? Be what? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. So if you're not getting the Holy Spirit empowerment, so what do we do as Jesus followers? We're going to try to fill with other things. I love our programs. I love our kids. But we try to outdo every other church and make our church perks a little better than the other church perks. And so perks are what's trying to fill us to keep us satisfied in church. We go from one relationship after one relationship because we're empty within ourselves and someone can't please me enough, so we got to try to feel. Listen, I'm telling you something. I love my wife and Brenda loves me, but I got to be filled with the Spirit. I can't be filled with Brenda. I got to be filled with the Spirit. She's got to be filled with the Spirit, not with Sam. So that's why there are too many things breaking down. Why are people breaking down instead of building up? Because he says you got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, let me go back to that for a minute. That word picture of the word filled there, the word picture for that filled right there, that word filled, literally is a ship sitting in a harbor, but then it pops its sails up and wind pops open the sail and the sail gets out of the harbor, moves away from the dock and starts moving out to its purpose on the sea. Too many believers are sitting in the docks of churches and the Spirit of God is not blowing into them to move them to what they ought to be. So what do? They sit in the dock. He says, no, be filled with the Spirit and move out of the harbor. Move into your gift. Don't wait for other things to fill you up to satisfy. He says, don't be drunk with wine. He says, in other words, quit putting other things to give you your joy. The joy is the understanding being full of the Holy Spirit. Okay, let me show what that means. Okay, everybody, hold with me. This is what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is a believer without the Holy Spirit. I gotta prop you up. People gotta tell you how wonderful you are all the time, or you'll just fall apart. This is what happens to believers. There's no activity, they can't give, they're too limp-wristed to give. Let's try to get them to worship. We will hold your hands up for you. Could you be a greeter? Are you kidding me? But see, too many of us, we're not building out. We're not growing, folks. And the Holy Spirit is a person that is right there saying, let me pray through you. Let me work through you. Quit trying to manipulate and control this thing. Let the Spirit of God blow its wind into you that gives you power. See, right now, this thing can't stand. You know why this thing can't stand? You know why this cannot stand? Because the pressure on the outside is overpowering because there's nothing on the inside. The reason why the pressure of business, the reason why the pressure of the culture, the reason why the pressure of sexual temptation is because there's nothing in you, so the outside pressure is greater than the inside pressure. The reason why everything seems to be collapsing is something is missing here. Quit blaming what's out here. This out here is never gonna go away. It's not going away. This right here, the reason it can't stand is there's not an opposite equal pressure to handle the pressure out there. So it cannot stand and remain built on the Spirit of God. But he says, don't get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh yeah, baby. Now we're dancing. Oh, I love it. 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 I could just sit here and watch that all day. I kind of like that. In fact, what I'm going to do is I'm going to buy a bunch of these and put them out there in the pews so when y'all don't get excited, that'll do it for me. Just turn it on. Look at that thing. Isn't that fun? Wouldn't you love to have one of those in your house? I'd love to. Yeah. My best friend. But the moment you stop praying, the pressure on the outside is what's destroying you, and that's why you can't stand. But when there's an equal opposite power on the inside, you can stand up against any wind, any wave, any storm, any problems that ever come your way. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. There's so much more for you, and that's why some of you have been coming to this church. You've been coming to this church because you know there's something different when you come in here. It's not me, I promise you. It's the Holy Spirit power in this room that you're looking for. It's not an exciting preacher. It's not the music. There's something else attracting you. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that you're really going after. You may not know it, but that's what you're going after. How many say, Pastor, I want to be filled with that Holy Spirit power. Oh. Okay, back to my notes. So how do I receive this, Pastor? How do I receive this power, baptism of the Holy Spirit? I want you to listen closely to me for a moment. Receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit power, you got to understand something. If you want New Testament power, you must follow New Testament pattern. I know that your sister Ethel had this great experience and you're trying to duplicate it. But I want you to realize something, that the Holy Spirit empowerment, you have to follow the Word of God. So here's the path. Watch this. Ready? Number one, they were saved. They were saved. Everybody say saved. Saved. Secondly, they were hungry. That means they were desiring all of Jesus that they could possibly have. All of Jesus they could possibly have. They laid hands upon them. Sometimes they didn't. But sometimes people would join with them and pray for them, and they'd lay hands upon them. But here's the big one. By faith, they spoke and released that language and started praying in the Spirit. By faith, they released it. And by faith, they received that power. The Holy Spirit's in you. It seals your salvation is in you, but he's resident. See, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit's resident, but when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, he becomes president. Amen? You say, now, Pastor, it's that speaking in that tongues. That's the thing that's kind of got me there. You know, I've been taught, and some people teach us, that being baptized, speaking in other tongues, that in fact that it's of the devil, some said. Some have taught that. It's of the devil. You know, that's kind of like Joe and Frank. You know, Joe's wife started going to a Spirit-filled church. She started praying in the Holy Spirit language, speaking in other tongues, and he goes to Frank, his buddy in the bar, and he said, Frank, my wife's going to the church, and she's been speaking in tongues. I'm going to tell you something, Frank. I think it's of the devil. Frank looked at Joe and said, Joe, it couldn't be of the devil. He said, why is that? He said, if it was of the devil, you and I'd be speaking in tongues. So how is it, Pastor, that you receive the power and then release the prayer language? Let me give you some practical things to a supernatural gift from God to you, just like salvation is a supernatural gift to you. Here's the first thing I want you to note.
You must give a voice to the Holy Spirit. I don't know why when it comes to praying in the language of the Holy Spirit, people are expecting God to come down, jack their jaw, slap their tongue, flip their lips. They think God's going to come down, open their mouth, and take their tongue and go. They're waiting for God to scare them. Boom! Oh, you go crazy. Folks, it's an act of faith. It's by faith they began to speak. They began to speak. Well, Pastor, I remember some of you started and you talked yourself out of it. You started with one divine dialect and that divine dialect, one syllable, and you stopped, you backed off. He said, Pastor, I was afraid it was me. I was afraid it was me, and I was sinning. I was afraid I was making it up. I was afraid it was me. Who else is it going to be? You're going to fully know what's going on. You are not out of control. I don't care what you saw Sister Beulah do. You are not out of control. You engage it by faith. And then some people did some really crazy teaching. There was a time, I'm not kidding you, this is no lie, where people actually had you say a funny word and say, repeat it back to me. And they said, okay, that's the baptismal spirit, that's praying in tongues. And I'm serious, they were around. I'm telling you, I had a lot of people confused. Well, that's not how it is, folks, where you just repeat something somebody says. Come on. You know, if that was the truth, then I'd have y'all get up here and I'd say, come up here and say, she came on a Honda. She came on a Honda. She left in a Mazda. She left in a Mazda. Okay, got it, Pastor. Her Mazda broke down, so she bought a Hyundai. Her Mazda broke down, so she bought a Hyundai. Say it. She came on a Honda. Left in a Mazda. Her Mazda broke down, she bought a Hyundai. Say it again. She came in a Honda. Left in a Mazda. Mazda broke down. Come on, put some RPMs to it, man. Come on, speed it up. She came in a Honda, left in a Mazda, Mazda brought a Hyundai. She came in a Honda, left in a Mazda, Mazda brought a Hyundai. There, you got it. I mean, that's what we do. That is not how you release that powerful communion of praying, not just in English, but in the language of the Spirit. That's not how it happens, folks. So let me give it to you the most simplest way I can give it to you. How many of you are born again in this room? You've given your life to Jesus Christ. Okay, how did that happen? The scripture says you have to believe with your heart and with your mouth give confession. That means tell everybody. Give voice to what's happened, the gift in you. It's the same with salvation. Like salvation, one receives the baptism of the Holy Spirit and releases the prayer language by faith. By faith. That's where salvation comes. That some of you said those words and you got saved and your skin color didn't change. Your voice didn't change, but just because the outside didn't change didn't mean you weren't born again on the inside. Some of you didn't feel like you were saved, but it didn't change the fact that you were born again by faith. And that's what so many people do. Boy, they're just trying and struggling, and they struggle and struggle. And some of you, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit's a gift. You leave one. Listen to this. You must leave one language and go to another. Oh, I tell you, I struggled with this. Now listen, some of you had no point of reference, so you're just going to have to indulge my humor for a moment, but I was raised in a Pentecostal church, okay? And I'm telling you something, when they went to go pray for you get the Holy Spirit, Sister Beulah would sit on one side of the altar, Ethel would be on the other side of the altar, and both were going off like machine guns in tongues in my ears. Some of you are laughing because you had the same Beulah and Ethel, right? And I mean just loud. I thought, I need a healing line. I don't need the Holy Spirit. I need a healing line. And I was 13, and I was struggling because we're trying to analyze this thing. It's by faith, just like salvation. You didn't analyze it. You finally said, yes. And I mean, they'd go off like machine guns, and I'd be sitting there struggling, bawling, squalling, snotting all over myself. And they'd say, come on, Sammy. And that, you do that, I'm done when you say Sammy. Come on, Sammy. Then they go, just say glory, son. Just say glory, Sammy. Just say glory. And I'll be sitting there crying, glory, 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 glory. And about an hour and a half of glory, glory, glory. Beulah go, say hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. 2 hours of hallelujah. Go back to glory, son. Glory, 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 glory. 3 hours. Go to hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory, 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 hallelujah. They thought the thing was going to get jump-started and just take off, you know. And they would say crazy things, you know. They'd say things like, you need to yield your tongue to God. We had those wooden benches and altars back then, you know. And they'd say, you just need to lay your tongue upon the altar.
Well, I'm a very literal guy, okay? I'm 13, and I'm thinking, do you know how many runny noses have been on this thing? I am not laying my tongue on this altar. Remember how you got saved? You chose to believe, and you chose to give a voice to receive that gift. Same way with allowing the power of the Spirit to open the envelope, to loose a dynamic power that you can pray in, and God begin to build you out. You got to leave one and go to the other. Okay, I'm going to close with this. My family came to the United States in 1961. I was 9 months old. My parents came on a boat and floated through Ellis Island. And my dad was Dutch. And the reason I look this way, y'all know my mama's Chinese, and that's why I look this way. So my mama's Chinese, my daddy's Dutch. China Hutch. And so when we had, at the dinner table, my parents felt that the family was responsible to keep the culture. And so the family kept the culture around the dinner table by my daddy making us speak Dutch. Well, I was 9 months old, so I didn't know many Dutch words. The only Dutch words I knew were the ones my brothers taught me, and those were all the bad words. And we would sit around the dinner table, but when guests would come over, my parents said, we will all speak English here. There's no Dutch. Speak English when our friends to feel comfortable. Well, my sisters would date these guys, and then they bring them over for them to eat my mom's Chinese food. And my mom's Chinese food is just, I mean, make a tadpole slap a whale, man. It's and so they'd come over to the house, and you know, these guys were big, and they would scarf all the food down. I mean, they would just eat it, man. They were big. I mean, big enough to eat hay and dumb enough to enjoy it big. That's how big they were. And they would just bury their face in that fried rice, and they'd eat all the food. And by the time it got to me, I would be so mad it'd all be gone, wiped out, because you give it the guests, you know. We're all speaking English. So my sisters would ask us, what thank you of him, you know? What do you think of this guy? She'd ask in Dutch. We'd switch over Dutch. We didn't want them to know what we're saying. And my brothers and I look at that and say, we'd say back in Dutch, hey, asafarken. Hey, asafarken. And the whole family just starts laughing all around the table. You say, well, what did you say? Some of you think I'm cussing. I'm not cussing, I promise you. I said, what do you think of this guy? We said, we think the guy eats like a pig. He's a pig, is what he is. And the whole family's laughing. My Chinese mom, she's laughing on the whole family. China Hutches, we are just laughing. We're just mocking this guy. Laughing, you're nothing but a pig. Here, have another egg roll. I mean, we were just laughing at this boy. Now, there is a method to my madness about how you pray in the Holy Spirit. How many of you know that I could not speak in my English natural language and a language that is foreign to me simultaneously? I had to choose to stop one and step into another. That was even a challenge for me, and step in the challenge and give voice to it. Now, how many know if I had chosen to stay in my English language, how many know he'd have known what I was saying? And he'd have jumped all over me like white on rice. Come on, how many know what I'm talking about, right? I'd be gone. But here's the deal. You have to make a choice, just like salvation, and release that and say, I release that power through me and that language of communion, God, to be filled with the Spirit, to be filled. And let me tell you why the devil fights this. Let me tell you why so many, even good, well-meaning people have fought this. Let me tell you why. Because if I was the devil, I'd fight this too. I'm telling you, if I was the devil, I would fight you. I would make it not for today. I'd give you every reason to get away from it. I would intimidate you. I'd try to embarrass you. I'd do everything, because I'm telling you, when you start praying in the Spirit, the mighty ability of God starts filling you and filling you and filling you. And I'll tell you one thing. Everybody around our kitchen table was laughing, except one person, the guy who did not understand the language of my family. And I'm telling you that when you start praying for yourself, your job, your marriage, your home, your backslidden son, when you start asking Jesus, I want so much of you and not of myself, I want your will, Holy Spirit, pray through me, help me, Holy Spirit, help me. Quit trying to fix the person beside you. Help me, Holy Spirit.
I am telling you, you cut out the devil's network of communication. He has no idea what you are praying. It is like you're going in Holy Spirit stealth mode into his camp and you're blowing up everything that he's tried to put against your family, and the Holy Spirit starts working his power praying through you. How many believe, folks? How many believe God wants to fill you with the power of his Holy Spirit? Are you hungry today? Some of us need refilling. Some of us need filled up. You may have gotten speaking in tongues, but you and your wife are fighting like cats and dogs. You're about ready to give up on life. You need God to touch some of you again that have been filled with the Spirit. Some of you lost your gift. God, fill me up again. Let me be like the air dancer. Give me back my joy, God. How many of you want more of him? Let's stand together and let's ask him for it. Come on, let's ask him.